I'd like to call this hearing to order. One procedural matter before we begin in earnest. We meet today prior to President-elect Trump's inauguration and therefore have not yet received Representative Pompeo's nomination to be Director of Central Intelligence Agency. Procedurally, we cannot vote on and report out the nomination until it's received in the U.S. Senate. So today, we'll have a hearing and expectations that that nomination will follow. Our goal in conducting this hearing is to enable the committee to begin consideration of Representative Pompeo's qualifications to allow for thoughtful deliberation of our members. Representative Pompeo has already provided substantive written responses to more than 125 questions presented by the committee and its members. Today, of course, members will be able to ask additional questions and hear from Representative Pompeo in open and closed session. It's my intention, as soon as time allows, to convene a meeting of the committee to vote on the nomination and to report it to the Senate floor for immediate floor vote. Now I'd like to welcome our witnesses today. Representative Mike Pompeo, President-elect Trump's nominee to be the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Mike, congratulations on your nomination. I'd like to also welcome your wife, Susan, where are you? Susan, and your son, Nick. Would you two just stand up? I want to thank both of you for your support of your husband, your father, of this incredible opportunity and, I think, benefit to our country. I understand that both of you have been a constant source of constructive and critical counsel to Mike, and that you said once during a speech, Nick, you graded him with a C, and Susan, you graded him with an F for questioning during an open hearing of the events of Benghazi. For the record, that tough curve you have described in the Pompeo household has clearly served you well and likely prepared you for the challenges that lie ahead. You'll soon be asked to lead what Mike, what I believe to be one of our nation's most treasured assets during a period of profound change. The Central Intelligence Agency is one of the principal members of the United States intelligence community and is tasked with collecting foreign intelligence through human sources and by appropriate means. The CIA operates in the shadows. Its officers are often undercover and sometimes work in hostile and austere environments. It's not simply a job for many, but a lifestyle. The clandestine nature of the agency's work, however, is both the greatest capability and most challenging liability, as its activities are outside the public view. We address that liability by calling upon the President to nominate individuals with unwavering integrity, and the Senate approves only those who are assured will lead this organization lawfully, ethically, and morally. Mike, I've reviewed the material provided by you prior to this confirmation hearing and have spoken with you personally. You enrolled in the United States Military Academy at West Point as a teenager. You graduated first in your class before serving as a cavalry officer. You went on to earn a law degree at Harvard and founded an aerospace company where you served as CEO for more than a decade. You are in your third term representing the people from the 4th District of Kansas and oversaw the intelligence community as a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. I believe your intellectual rigor, your honorable service, and outstanding judgment make you a very natural fit to lead the CIA. I can assure you that this committee will continue to be faithful and follow its charter and conduct rigorous and real-time oversight over the CIA operations and their activities. We will ask difficult and probing questions of you, your staff, and we will expect honest, complete, and timely response. The American people allow the CIA to operate in the shadows because they trust oversight. And I take responsibility very seriously. I look forward to supporting your nomination and ensuring its consideration without delay. I want to thank you again for being here, for your years of service to your country in many different capacities, and I look forward to your testimony today. I now would like to recognize the Vice Chairman and Senator Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I also would like to welcome you and congratulate you, Congressman Pompeo, and want to also just note on a personal basis, it's great to have the former Vice Chair back here by my side, willing to kick and prod me if I get off script. Let me also echo what the Chairman says and offer congratulations on your impending nomination to serve as Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. I've enjoyed our recent meetings, and thank you for your honest views. If confirmed, you will be sitting at a critical intersection between intelligence and policymaking. You and I agree that politics has no place in your new line of business. Your job will be to give the President the best professional judgment of Americans' intelligence experts at the CIA, even when it might be inconvenient or uncomfortable. As the motto you will see every morning in the lobby of the CIA headquarters reminds us, your job is to search out and follow the truth, regardless of where it may lead. Many risk their lives and toil long hours in anonymity to get that critical piece of information that could mean the difference between literally life and death. Congressman Pompeo, I will need your public assurance that you will always seek to provide unbiased, unvarnished, and timely intelligence assessments to the President, to his cabinet, his advisors, and to those of us in Congress. This intelligence must represent the best judgment of the CIA, whether or not that analysis is in agreement with the views of the President or anyone else who might receive them. I look forward to hearing from you on this topic. I've been concerned, as I've mentioned a number of times, over the course of the electoral campaign and even after it, the CIA and the entire intelligence community has repeatedly and unfairly been subjected to criticisms of its integrity. These comments have affected the morale of these dedicated men and women. This attitude will have a real impact on recruitment and retention of talented individuals willing to serve our country. Today, again, I would like to hear your plan to reassure CIA employees that their countless hours they commit and the operations where they may be called upon to put their life on the line are not in vain, and that their sacrifices will not be disregarded in the White House or anywhere else in the next administration. Intelligence, as we all know and have discussed as well, is a team sport, and all members of that team must work together. The President-elect has announced a former member of this committee, Senator Dan Coats, a friend of many of ours, and to become ODNI. I will be paying particular close attention to the cooperation between CIA and ODNI, as well as other intelligence agencies. I will ask that you commit yourself to this goal of cooperation and to provide assurance to this committee that you share that goal. The agency that you have been nominated to head is facing a number of challenges brought on by the changing world, which will require great leadership to drive organizational adaptation. Among, as the Chairman has mentioned, the increasing use and relevance of open source material and big data, coupled with the increasing amount of bad or false data in the world. The difficulty of using cover in a world where potential recruits have spent most of their lives online using social media. The challenge of maintaining analytical integrity after reorganization that puts analysts and operators in the same rooms working on the same programs. And the changing nature of a millennial workforce, increasingly diverse and born digitally native.
We'll now proceed to your opening statement. The floor is yours, Mike.
Thank you very much, Senator Burr, Senator Warner, members of the committee. Senator Dole, thank you for your kind words this morning, but more importantly, thank you to your service to our nation and to Kansas as a public servant here, as an elected official, and as a soldier in World War II. Kansans, and I think it's safe to say your former colleagues here in the Senate know they've benefited from your wit, your patriotism, and your kindness. I sure know that I have. Thank you so much for agreeing to be here this morning. Senator Roberts, thank you, too, for your warm introduction. I'm especially grateful for your guidance over the years, not simply because you're the dean of the Kansas Congressional Delegation, but due to the insights that you've shared with me in your role as the former chairman of this committee. Semper Fi, sir.
One time may have to leave early. I finally got a client.
Senator Joel, I completely understand. Thank you very much for being here, sir. Chairman Burr, Vice Chairman, Senators, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today as the nominee of the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. I want to thank the staff of this committee, too, for your kindness and attention through the nomination process. I'd like to thank President-elect Trump for nominating me. It's an honor to be selected as the next steward of the world's premier intelligence agency. I look forward to working with Senator Coats, the nominee for the Director of National Intelligence, and supporting him in his critical role should we both be confirmed. I also want to thank Director Brennan and Director Clapper for their many, many years of selfless service to our nation. I'm grateful, of course, to the people of the 4th District of Kansas who have entrusted me for the past 6 years and change to represent them in the United States House of Representatives. It has been a true honor. And finally, I want to thank my patient and patriotic wife, Susan, and my son, Nicholas, each of whom I love dearly. The two of you have been so selfless in allowing me to return to public service, first as a member of Congress and now, if confirmed, working with warriors who keep America safe. I cannot tell you how much it means for you all to be with me here today. Having been a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, I understand full well that my job, if confirmed, will be to change roles from centrality of policymaking to information provider. The director must stay clearly on the side of collecting intelligence and providing objective analysis to policymakers, including to this committee. I spent the majority of my life outside of politics, first as an Army officer, then as a litigator, and then running two manufacturing business in Kansas. Returning to duty that requires hard work and unerring candor is something that is in my bones. Today, I'd like to briefly sketch some of the challenges I see facing the United States, address trends in intelligence, and describe what I see as the Central Intelligence Agency role in addressing each of those. This is the most complicated threat environment the United States has seen in recent memory. ISIS remains a resilient movement that still controls major urban centers throughout the Middle East. We must ensure that they and those they inspire cannot expand their reach or slaughter more innocent people. The conflict in Syria is one of the worst humanitarian catastrophes of the 21st century. It has led to the rise of extremism and sectarianism, as well as further created instability throughout the region and in Europe and indeed all across the world. Iran, the world's largest state sponsor of terror, has become an even more emboldened and disruptive player in the Middle East. Russia has reasserted itself aggressively, invading and occupying Ukraine, threatening Europe, and doing nothing to aid in the destruction and defeat of ISIS. As China flexes its muscles and expands its military and economic reach, its activities in the South and East China Seas and in cyberspace are now pushing new boundaries and creating real tension. North Korea, too, has dangerously accelerated its nuclear and ballistic missile capabilities. We all rely on intelligence from around the globe to avoid strategic and tactical surprise. Intelligence helps make the other elements of national power effective, including economic and legal measures against weapons proliferators, terrorist financiers, and other criminals. Foreign governments and liaison services are vital partners in preventing attacks and providing crucial intelligence. It's important that we all thank and appreciate the foreign partners who stand with us in helping make sure that we all have the intelligence we need to keep America safe. If confirmed, I intend to advocate for a strong and vibrant intelligence community and for CIA's centrality in that community. There are at least four long-term trends making the urgency of supporting intelligence paramount. First, the intelligence community finds itself a potential victim of long-term negative budgetary trends, which can weaken the fabric of our intelligence community. Second, as with the proliferation of chemical and biological weapons and ballistic missile technology, countries such as North Korea have overcome low barriers of entry to engage in offensive cyber operations. The United States must continue to invest wisely to maintain a decisive advantage. Third, the effects of dislocation and poor governance present critical challenge, but also new targets and opportunities for the CIA's collection and analysis. And finally, the insider threat problem has grown exponentially in the digital age. The greatest threats to America have always been the CIA's top priorities. It will be the CIA's mission, and my own if confirmed, to ensure that the agency remains the best in the world at its core mission, collecting what our enemies do not want us to know. In short, the CIA must be the world's premier espionage organization. One emerging area for increased focus is the cyber domain. Sophisticated adversaries like China and Russia, as well as less sophisticated adversaries like Iran and North Korea, terrorist groups, criminal organizations, and hackers, are all taking advantage of this new borderless environment. The CIA must continue to be at the forefront of this issue. As the President-elect has made clear, one of my top priorities, if confirmed, is to assist in the defeat of ISIS. We must maintain an aggressive counterterrorism posture and also address manifestations of this great threat beyond ISIS and al-Qaeda. With respect to Iran, we must be rigorously objective in assessing the progress made under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. While I oppose the Iran deal as a member of Congress, if confirmed, my role will change. I'll lead the agency to aggressively pursue collection operations and ensure analysts have the time, political space, and resources to make objective and sound judgments. Similarly, it's a policy decision with respect to how we will deal with Russia, but it will be essential that the agency provide policymakers with accurate, timely, robust, and complete intelligence and clear-eyed analysis of Russian activities to the greatest extent feasible. As a member of the House Intelligence Committee, I fully appreciate the need for transparency and support from members of Congress. I've lived it. We owe it to our constituents to get to the bottom of intelligence failures. But we owe it to the brave Americans of the intelligence community not to shirk our responsibility when unauthorized disclosures to the media expose controversial intelligence activities, or when Edward Snowden, from the comfort of his Moscow safe house, misleads the American people about intelligence activities. On my first visit to CIA headquarters just a few years ago, I visited an analytical targeting cell. Some of you have probably done this as well. I saw a woman who appeared as though she'd not slept for weeks. She was poring over data on her computer screen. I introduced myself, I asked her what she was working on, and she said she was just hours away from solving a riddle to locate a particularly bad character she had been pursuing for months. She had her mission. Its completion would make America safer. She was a true patriot. In the past few years, I've come to know there are countless men and women just like her at this agency working to crush our adversaries. This past weekend, I took a moment and visited Arlington National Cemetery. I've done this many times, but on this visit, I paid special attention to the markers that commemorate CIA officers who have perished ensuring our freedom. In so many places most Americans will never know, agency put their offices, put themselves and their lives at risk. We know the sacrifices of the families of each of these CIA officers from our role performing intelligence. Those families sacrificed greatly as well. As I walked among these heroes, I was reminded of the sacred trust that will be granted to me if I am confirmed. I will never fail it. I'm honored to have been nominated to lead the finest intelligence agency the world has ever known, working to keep safe the people of the greatest nation in the history of civilization. If confirmed, I will be sworn to defend the U.S. Constitution for the third time in my life, first as a soldier, then as a member of the House of Representatives, and now to work with the President and each of you to keep America safe. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I look forward to your questions.
Mr. Pompeo, thank you for your testimony this morning. For members, we will recognize, based upon seniority, for 5 minutes of questions. I would note for members there is a closed session of this hearing that will start promptly at 1 p.m. I would remind members that we're in open session and that questions for Representative Pompeo today in this session should be limited to those that can be discussed and answered in open session. And I trust that if you ask something that can't, the witness will make sure that he answers it when we get to closed session. With that, Mike, I'm certain that from your experience on the HPC and specifically your involvement in the House Select Committee Benghazi investigation, you understand how valuable intelligence can be to oversight. If asked by the committee, will you provide the raw intelligence and sourcing behind agency finished products and assessments if, in fact, this committee needs it to complete its job?
Senator, I have been on the other side of this, and I know how central it is to make sure you have all that you need to perform your oversight function for intelligence collection activities and all that the agency does. You have my commitment that I will always do everything I can to make sure I get you the information that you need, including an expanded set of information. I understand on a handful of issues you've reached agreement. I heard Director Clapper testified before you, I believe it was last week, it may have been the beginning of this week, and I promise to honor the commitment that Director Clapper made to this committee.
Thank you for that. There's been much discussion about the role of the Central Intelligence Agency and what it played in the detention and interrogation of terrorism suspects as part of the RDI program. These detention facilities operated by the CIA have long since been closed. President Obama officially ended the program 7 years ago. I think the debate space on this subject has become confused, and I'm certain that the law is now very, very clear. Do you agree that it would require a change in law for the CIA or any government agency to lawfully employ any interrogation techniques beyond those defined in the Army Field Manual?
I do.
You've been an outspoken critic in the past of policy and activities of this administration that you disagreed with in line with representing the people of the 4th District of Kansas. As head of the CIA, you'll be in a position to speak truth to power and provide the president with your agency's unbiased, unvarnished, and best assessment of threats facing our nation, assessments that will inform his approach to those very policies and activities that you may have criticized in the past. Will you be able to set politics aside and provide the president with clear-eyed assessments free of political interference?
Senator, I appreciate the question, and I, when I say that, I mean I understand deeply the question that you're asking. I've spent my life telling the truth, sometimes in very, very difficult situations as a lieutenant, as a member of Congress, in fact, as a member of the Oversight Committee, where sometimes we get placed in difficult situations talking to our constituents about things that matter an awful lot for American national security, and sometimes we just can't reveal them. You have my commitment that every day I will not only speak truth to power, but I will demand that the men and women who I have come to know well over these past few years, who live their lives doing just that, will be willing, able, and follow my instructions to do that each and every day.
Thank you for that, Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, Congressman, it's great to see you. To ensure that we don't end up with a light turnout again, I won't redo my second half of my statement. But I do want to get you on the record, Mike, on a couple of issues that we have discussed, particularly about this inquiry into Russian active measures. And I want to also reiterate the chairman's comments of the absolute necessity to make sure that you bring forward this analysis in an unvarnished way. And I think you've made that clear to the chairman, and I know you've made that clear to me on a private basis. So if we can go through some of these questions fairly quickly. Do you accept the conclusions of the IC regarding Russia's active measure?
Senator Warner, I do. I've had one briefing. I attended the hearing or the meeting at which the president-elect was briefed. Everything I've seen suggests to me that the report has an analytical product that is sound.
Do you pledge to cooperate with the SSCI's Russia inquiry and to provide and make possible all necessary materials and access to personnel if needed?
Senator Warner, I do. I think that's incredibly important.
Do you pledge to continue to pursue your own investigation into ongoing Russian active measures and any attempts they or others may have to undermine the United States, our political system, or our position in the world?
Senator, I do. Indeed, I would expect that the President-elect would demand that of me. It is fully my intention. That's my view with respect to all the product that the Central Intelligence Agency produces. We learn, we continue to develop intelligence. If we're worth our salt, we will continue to gain insights that are valuable to policymakers, both the president-elect and you all. I will continue to pursue foreign intelligence collection with vigor, no matter where the facts lead.
Congressman, I've been critical of the tenor of some of the president-elect's comments about the workforce and the professionalism of the IC. In your opening statement, you were very eloquent about the one that had been without sleep for some time. In light of some of those comments, I have concerns about the morale throughout the IC, but particularly at the CIA at this point. What plan will you have to go in and reassure the people who work at the CIA? How do we make sure in a world where it's increasingly challenging to get to people to step up and serve, both in terms of recruitment and retention, that we can you can reaffirm that you will have the CIA employees' backs?
Senator, let me begin by saying I am confident that the Central Intelligence Agency will play a role for this administration it has for every previous administration as providing powerful intelligence that shapes policy and decision-making inside this administration. I am confident that President-elect Trump will not only accept that but demand that from the men and women, not only at the CIA, but throughout all of the 17 intelligence communities. With respect to me personally, I have come to understand the value of the Central Intelligence Agency. I have seen their morale through tough times where they have been challenged before, and I have watched them walk through fire to make sure that they did their jobs in a professional way and that they always were aimed at getting the truth in depth and in a robust way to policymakers. I have every confidence that not only will I demand that they will continue to do that under my leadership if I'm confirmed.
I think it's going to be an ongoing challenge, and if you're confirmed, obviously wish you the best and think that is critically important. I see many of these CIA employees, I have the opportunity to represent them. They live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. They work in this region, and it's been a challenging time for them. I also want to get to, in light of some of the comments during the campaign that the President-elect made, I think a subset of that, of this issue as well, is making sure going forward that CIA represents the diversity of the world, and particularly in terms of Muslim Americans being engaged. How do we reassure them in light of some of the comments made? And then also, I concur with you that the challenge with ISIL is an enormous one. How do we make sure, how would you go forward to make sure that our Muslim allies in our fight against ISIL, that they're going to continue to have a strong partner in the United States and not one that is going to in any way discriminate based upon faith?
Senator, it's absolutely imperative. We have a workforce out at the agency that is incredibly diverse. As you all well know, to achieve their mission, we have to have folks from a broad background set as well as with language skills that represent all parts of the world so that we can perform our intelligence operations properly. And we have partners in the Muslim world that provide us intelligence and who we share with in ways that are incredibly important to keeping America safe. I am counting on, and I know you all are as well, that these liaison partnerships will continue to be additive to American national security. And you have my commitment that our workforce will continue to be diverse. I hope we can even expand that further so that we can perform our incredibly important intelligence collection operations all around the world.
Senator Rush.
Mr. Chairman, I've had a considerable amount of time with Mike over the years and recently. I'm going to, and we're on a short string here, I'm going to reserve my questions until we get to the closed hearing portion of the hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Feinstein.
Thanks very much. Mr. Chairman, I just want to begin by saying I really appreciate the private meeting we had an opportunity to have. For me, it was a clarification. I do appreciate your apology. I take it with the sincerity with which you gave it. I want to ask one follow-up question to what the chairman asked, and that's dealing with those enhanced interrogation techniques. And that is that if you were ordered by the president to restart the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation techniques that fall outside of the Army Field Manual, would you comply?
Senator, absolutely not. Moreover, I can't imagine that I would be asked that by the president-elect or then-president. But I'm very clear. I voted for the change that put the Army Field Manual in place as a member of Congress. I understand that law very, very quickly and am also deeply aware that any changes to that will come through Congress and the president.
And regular order.
And regular order, yes, ma'am, yes. Absolutely. With respect to the outlines of what's in the Army Field Manual, there's no doubt in my mind about the limitations it places not only on the DOD but on the Central Intelligence Agency, and I'll always comply with the law.
Another question. How will you handle the President-elect's refutation of the intelligence community's high assessments that Russian intelligence units, namely the GRU and the FSB, did in fact hack and spearfish into the campaigns and parties of both political parties this past campaign season.
Senator, as with, I think I answered Senator Warner the same way, my obligation as the director of the CIA is to tell every policymaker the facts as best the intelligence agency has developed them. With respect to this report in particular, it's pretty clear about what took place here, about Russian involvement in efforts to hack information and to have an impact on American democracy. I'm very clear-eyed about what that intelligence report says. And I have every expectation as we continue to develop the facts, I will relay those not only to the president, but the team around him, and to you all, so that we all can have a robust discussion about how to take on what is an enormous threat from cyber. I think you all know that. You all have lived it. This is very real. It is growing. It is not new in that sense. But this was an aggressive action taken by the senior leadership inside of Russia, and America has an obligation, and the CIA has a part of that obligation to protect that information.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Senator. And if I may say thank you, too, for coming back today, and I hope your recovery is very, very speedy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You and I discussed Director Brennan's beginning efforts on modernization of the CIA and trying to set up a different mechanism which would make it more effective. What can you tell us today about how you would proceed in that direction?
Senator Feinstein, there was a major modernization program that, frankly, is still in the shakeout cruise at the agency. It's been going on for a while, but still lots of things to work through. My observations from my time as a member of Congress are that the goals were noble and they were trying to get to the right place, and that, in fact, many of the changes that were made may well end up making sense. But I think I have an obligation as I go evaluate that, share those evaluations with you. I've heard from a number of you about your observations about its effectiveness. Some of you have a set of views that are opposed. You may not even know that about each other just yet. But I'm going to go in. I'm going to take a look. My expectation is that from my time as a small business person, when you make a change of this scope and scale, that you don't get everything right in that. And my obligation is to try and make sure that we've got everything right, that there are clear lines of decision-making and authority, and that the analytic product that is coming out is true and clear and real.
Just one last question. You mentioned the Iranian, what we call the JPOA. And I think whatever one thinks of the settlement in its entirety, under this, Iran has shipped some 25,000 pounds of enriched uranium out of the country. It's dismantled and removed two-thirds of its centrifuges. It's removed the Calandria from its heavy water reactor and filled it with concrete. And it's provided unprecedented access to its nuclear facilities and supply chain. Iran's estimated breakout time has moved from 2 to 3 months to a year or more. In November, on Fox News, you said you can't think of a single good thing that's come from the Iran nuclear deal, not one. Now, thus far, the CIA has provided oversight to this committee with very solid analysis of what the level of compliance is, and thus far, it has been extraordinarily positive. I'd like you to comment on this, because, and particularly your comments, because this nuclear deal is in effect just that. It doesn't include other things that are bad things that Iran has done. It's just the nuclear agreement, and they have, in fact, conformed to it thus far. So would you comment, please?
Yes, Senator. First, you have my commitment that we, if I'm confirmed at the agency, will continue to evaluate their compliance with the agreement in the way that you've just described the agency has been doing to date. I concur with you that that work has been good and robust, and that intelligence, I think, important to policymakers as they make decisions. I think my comments were referring to the post-January 2016 rampage of Iranian increased activity. And that's, I know you share my concern about that as well. And so when I was speaking to the risk that Iran presents, it was certainly from those activities, whether it's the fact that they've now had, we now have had missiles that we've had to fire back at into Yemen, the Iranian support of Houthis, the list is long. They're still holding Americans in Iran. Those were the concerns that I was addressing that day. You have my commitment as the director of the CIA, if I'm confirmed, that we will continue to provide you the intelligence to understand both what's taking place in the nuclear arena with respect to the JCPOA and its compliance, as well as to the set of activities that are outside of that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Senator
Thank you,
Rubio.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pompeo, thank you, first of all, for your service to our country repeatedly in the Army and Congress and now here in this new role. I know we're going to have a closed hearing later today, so the questions I'm about to ask you, I ask that you answer based on open source information available to the general public and also your understanding of the law of war as a graduate of West Point and your service as an officer in the U.S. Army. First of all, your understanding as an officer in the U.S. Army, is military targeting of civilians a violation of the law of war?
Oh, Senator, intentional targeting of civilians is absolutely a violation of the law of war.
Based on open sources and information available to the general public and the conflict in Aleppo, Syria, have Russian forces conducted repeated attacks against civilian targets?
Senator, based on open source reporting, it appears that they have.
Do you believe, based on your knowledge, again, acquired through open sources and your just general knowledge of geopolitics, that Russian military forces could conduct a repeated attack against targets in Aleppo, Syria, without the express direction of Vladimir Putin?
It seems intensely unlikely to me, Senator.
And again, all of your answers you just gave are based on open sources, unclassified.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The second question I have is, and I think you've already said that you accept this as a fact, that there is indeed an effort by Russian intelligence and others associated with the Russian government to conduct a campaign of active measures in the United States designed to sow doubt about the credibility of our elections and our democracy, to sow divisions and chaos in our politics, to undermine the credibility of political leaders and the like. You agree that that assessment, that we are in the throes of a active measures campaign that probably predates this campaign, but it's certainly ratcheted up.
Yes, Senator. It's a longstanding effort of the Russians, and frankly, there are others out there engaged in the similar set of activities. It is something America needs to take seriously and a threat that we are vulnerable to today.
And in fact, it is the exact activity they've undertaken, for example, in Europe and in other countries as well, that we've seen the same sort of pattern in other places, correct?
Yes, Senator. And I'll add to that. We have elections, important elections, taking place in the year ahead in Europe and around the world, and we need to be deeply cognizant of all of the foreign actors with malign intent who are attempting to impact those elections as well. And I think the CIA has a role in trying to understand that threat in a deep and fundamental way and sharing that with each and every member of the policymaking community.
Now, again, not asking you to rely on any intelligence or classified information, just in your judgment, as you see the state of American politics and the political discourse, a president-elect who has questioned at times the judgments of our intelligence agencies, opponents to our president-elect who continuously question the legitimacy of his election, the shameful leak in the media regarding unsubstantiated, unsourced information designed to smear the president-elect, the fact that Russia and Vladimir Putin have become a dominant theme in political coverage in this country for the better part of 3 months, if not longer. As you look at all of that, in your personal opinion, is Vladimir Putin and the Russians looking at all this and saying, we've done a really good job of creating chaos, division, instability in the American political process?
Senator, you put a lot into that. But let me try and unpack it just a touch. I certainly want to make sure I talk only about my observations and judgments based on unclassified information.
Yes,
but
sir.
I have no doubt that the discourse that's been taking place is something that Vladimir Putin would look at and say, wow, that was among the objectives that I had, to sow doubt among the American political community, to suggest somehow that American democracy was not unique. I believe it is fundamentally unique and special around the world. It shouldn't surprise any of us at all that the leadership inside of Russia views this as something that might well redound to their benefit.
And my last question involves an area that you may not get asked by anybody else on the committee, you might, but it regards the Western Hemisphere. And I just ask if you will pledge to work within the interagency to ensure that collection and coverage of the Western Hemisphere, and in particular nations like Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Ecuador, Bolivia, that we focus on threats that may emanate from those places.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wyden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Congressman, for coming up to visit. At a time when the president-elect is on record as supporting torture, blocking Americans' ability to protect themselves with strong encryption, and has encouraged the outsourcing of intelligence gathering to the Russians, it's my view you're going to have an enormous challenge to be an advocate for honorable policies. It's already clear that several key members of the president-elect's national security team advocate illegal policies. So this morning, my view is we need to find out what you're for. And I'm just going to tick through some of the issues we talked about in the office. Let's start with surveillance, if we could. You recently wrote a op-ed article saying that Congress ought to pass a new law reestablishing the collection of all metadata. Those are your words, all metadata. So you would basically get the Congress and the country back into the business of collecting millions and millions of phone records on law-abiding people. You go on in this op-ed article to say that these phone records ought to be combined with publicly available financial and lifestyle information into a comprehensive, searchable database. So you would be in favor of a new law collecting all of this data about the personal lives of our people. And I think it would be helpful if you could start by saying, are there any boundaries in your view to something this sweeping?
Senator, you and I did have a chance to discuss this. There are, of course, boundaries to this. First and foremost, they begin with legal boundaries that exist today. That piece that I was referring to was talking about the U.S. government's obligation to do all that it can in a lawful, constitutional manner to collect foreign intelligence keeping America safe.
Congressman, that's not what you were talking about. Senator, you said collecting all metadata.
Yes, Senator.
All metadata.
Let me continue. Yes, I still continue to stand behind the commitment to keep Americans safe and by conducting lawful intelligence collection. When I was referring to metadata there, I was talking about the metadata program the USA Freedom Act has now changed in fundamental ways. You should recall, voted for the USA Freedom Act, and I understand its restrictions on efforts by all of the U.S. government to collect information.
But you wrote this op-ed since the passage of the law. So after the law passed, you said, let's get back into the business of collecting all of this metadata. And I'm curious what kind of information about finances and lifestyles would you not enter into your idea of this giant database?
Well, Senator, first of all, I have to begin by saying today that would be, in most instances, what you referred to there would be unlawful under current law. And so as the director of the CIA, you have my assurance we will not engage in unlawful activity. But I think this committee, the American people, demand that if there's publicly available information someone has out there on our public available site, I think we have an obligation to use that information to keep Americans safe. If someone's out there on their Facebook page talking about an attack or plotting an attack against America, I think you would find the director of the CIA and the intelligence community grossly negligent if they didn't pursue that information.
Congressman, I don't take a backseat to anybody in terms of protecting this country when our security is on the line. I wrote the section of the Freedom Act that gives the government emergency authority to move when it's critical to protect the country. That's not what we're talking about here. You're talking about your interest in setting up a whole new metadata collection system, which is far more sweeping than anything the Congress has been looking at. And if you would, before we vote, I would like you to furnish in writing what kind of limits you think there ought to be on something like this. Let me see if I can get in one more question. The president-elect had indicated on the Apple issue that, in effect, he thought that there shouldn't be strong encryption and that he basically would consider pushing for mandated backdoors into encrypted products. And that's been the position of the FBI, some very influential members of Congress. Now, you have not been a cheerleader, as far as I can tell, for weakening strong encryption, which is something I think that sounds constructive. If you're confirmed as CIA director, are you willing to take the president, the FBI, and influential members of Congress on this issue? Because I think it's clear weakening strong encryption will leave us less safe. And I'd like to hear your views with respect to strong encryption. And would you be willing to take the president, the FBI, influential members of Congress on when they advocate it, because they're going to?
Senator, first of all, I did not mean at all to suggest you were second to anyone with respect to keeping America safe. If I implied that, I did not intend that. You should know I take a backseat to no one with respect to protecting Americans' privacy either. I think that is incredibly, incredibly important. With respect to encryption, it's a complicated issue. I know enough about it to begin to form judgments, but I want to talk to you about the process, the framework I'll use. I think this applies across a broad range of issues we'll discuss today. When we're dealing about an issue like encryption that has commercial implications, national security implications, privacy implications, I will do my best to understand what it means to the Central Intelligence Agency, and what it means to our capacity to keep America safe, and I will represent its interests as my part of a larger effort to make sure that we get that policy decision right. And if, in fact, it is the conclusions of folks out at the agency and our team, and I concur in that assessment, I can assure you I will present that rigorously, whatever the views of the president are or any of the members of his team. I will do my best to get that right and represent, do my role as the director of the CIA if I'm confirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pompeo, first let me say that I was very heartened by our meeting and our telephone call in which you showed that you fully understood the role that you have as CIA director to keep this committee well informed. I expressed to you my frustration of questioning members of the Intelligence Committee and then finding that there was more to the story and that there were omissions at times, not deception, but omissions. And even more frustrating, reading in the paper the next day, leaks that have come from the administration, not necessarily the CIA. And I think that erodes the trust that is essential for us to perform our oversight function, which is absolutely critical since you don't have the regular oversight mechanisms. And just for the record, if you could reassure me again on your willingness to be very forthright with this committee, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am, I can assure you that we talked about the fact that I have lived that life a bit as well. And I understand it's not only that interest is so broad, right? This is what you spoke to. You mentioned it here. This is a unique space where we operate in places where the American public doesn't always get a chance to see everything. And so the willingness to make sure that we share this information to policymakers who we trust will keep this information safe and secure and handle this information appropriately is absolutely critical. You have my assurance. I'll do everything to make sure that this committee has a relationship with the agency that is forthright each and every day.
Thank you. I want to turn to the issue of cyber threats and cybersecurity, which has been an obsession of mine for many years since Joe Lieberman and I tried to bring a cybersecurity bill to the floor in 2012, only to have it filibustered. I believe that the recent focus on the cyber intrusions in the campaigns has greatly increased the public's awareness of this problem. But the fact is that the cyber intrusions go far beyond the political space, troubling though and appalling though that is. There was a 2015 memo by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense that said that the Department of Defense is subjected, this was a public memo, is subjected to 100,000 attempted cyber attacks each day. Now, those are attempts. Not all of them go through. They're from nation states. They're from terrorist groups. They're from hackers. They're from international criminal gangs. You name it. That's 3 million per month. How would you assess our preparedness in the cyber domain?
Senator, we've got lots of work to do. Maybe the best way to summarize that. Not only the government that is protecting our systems, and we've talked a lot the last few days about the systems that belong to private entities, political private entities, but I know you've done a great deal of work in making sure that the national infrastructure, including its private sector infrastructure, has the capacity to do what it needs to keep not only business issues in the place that they need to be. A lot of these folks are subcontractors to the United States government as well, right? Private companies that have important information about American national security activities. And so we have an awful lot of work to do. There's no reason to expect that this threat is going to diminish, and that will take a whole of government effort to do that, shared by the executive branch and the legislative branch to achieve better cybersecurity for the national infrastructure as well.
Let me very quickly express two concerns about Iran. One, there are increasing reports that Iran is using its civilian air fleet for illicit purposes, including the transfer of arms to terrorist groups. If confirmed, would you make a priority to provide an assessment to Congress of whether or not Iran is using its civilian air fleet for such purposes?
Senator, I will. I'm happy to share with you, too. I've read about this as well. I'm happy to share with you in closed session the knowledge that I have. It concerns me greatly, the activities of Iran Air and Mahan Air that are taking place today in Iran.
And finally, do you believe that the monitoring and verification regime in our agreement with Iran, the JCPOA, as currently constructed, is adequate to ensure that Iran is fully complying with the agreement? Do you think that the IAEA has sufficient access and to detect any Iranian cheating?
Senator, the Iranians are professionals at cheating. And so while I think we have a very sound inspection regime, I have to tell you, I worry about the fact of the thing that we do not know, we do not know. And so you have my commitment that I will continue to improve and enhance our capacity to understand that and do everything I can to diminish the risk that, in fact, we are missing something.
Thank you.
Senator Heinrich.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Congressman Pompeo, for taking the time to sit down with me earlier this week and for your willingness to answer the pre-hearing questions that a number of us submitted to you. I hope your responsiveness to committee inquiries continues unabated should you be confirmed. That was certainly the tone that you set with me in the office, and I appreciate that. As I told you in our conversation, I've had serious concerns over the last few years that has not always been the lay of the land between the director and this committee. And I understand that the DCIA has a mandate to be fully supportive of the men and women who work there. That is critical. However, I also hope that when, if you are lucky enough to fill that very important position, that we will have a new approach of being open in hearings and with regard to congressional oversight. I want to start on an issue that was central in some of the pre-hearing questions and in our conversation, You indicated that you would seek the counsel of experts at the CIA to determine whether adhering to the Army Field Manual and conducting interrogations was an impediment to gathering vital intelligence. You've been supportive of the use of enhanced interrogation techniques in the past, saying back in September of 2014 that President Obama has continually refused to take the war on radical Islamic terrorism seriously and cited ending our interrogation program in 2009 as an example. Can you commit to this committee that under current law, which limits interrogation to the Army Field Manual, that you will comply with that law and that the CIA is out of the enhanced interrogation business?
Yes, you have my full commitment to that, Senator Heinrich.
Thank you. Let me jump to another issue. It's Senator Wyden had touched on this earlier, but I want to follow up a little bit. As the director and as somebody who sat on the House Intelligence Committee over the last couple of years, you're very familiar with the changes in law that have been made under current law, the USA Freedom Act that was passed recently. What changes to that law would you encourage the administration to seek, if any?
Senator, I currently have no intention of seeking such changes. But as I think we discussed when we met, I am certain if I'm confirmed, learn a great deal about the program develop a deeper understanding and hear lots of views with inside the agency, and I will. I'll look to experts there and experts outside. And if, in fact, I conclude that there need to be changes to the USA Freedom Act that protect America, I will bring them to you and have the full expectation that you all consider them fairly as well.
I know we were recently briefed on basically the status of being able to collect important information under that law. I would assume that there was probably a similar briefing on the House side. Were you a part of that, and do you feel like, at least with what you know today, that the surveillance that needs to be done is happening under that structure while protecting innocent Americans from unnecessary intrusion?
Senator, I've not had a chance to have a complete briefing on that, but I can say that I have not heard anything that suggests that there is a need for change today.
Jumping once again over to the JCPOA, I know that the day before you were nominated to be the director, you said that you look forward to, quote, rolling back the Iran deal. How would you characterize your position on that today, and would you stand by that statement?
Senator, just so the record can reflect that, communications was approved before I was aware that I was going to be the nominee to the Central Intelligence Agency. Having said that, look, I spoke to this a great deal. It was my view that the JCPOA was a mistake for American national security. I believed that. But it's also the case that after that, I came to the understanding that that was the arrangement this president thought was in the best interest of America, and I worked to make sure that it was fully implemented. And now, if I'm confirmed, I'll continue to do that in my role as the director of the CIA. I will endeavor to provide straight information to you all about the progress that the JCPOA has made towards reducing the threat from Iranian nuclear activity and share with you when that's not happening as well.
Thank you, Congressman.
Senator Blunt.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Congressman, I know we were all pleased we had a chance to visit with you privately. You quickly reached out to members of this committee and met with us, and we'll have a chance to visit later today in the classified setting. I want to go back a little bit to your discussion with Senator Wyden. One of your last comments you made there was that you gave ground to no one in respecting America's privacy, and if you want to give any examples of that in your House career, that would be fine. But as I understood what I thought was that discussion about a more expanded collection effort, it was collecting things that people had chose to no longer keep private, collecting things on social media that people had put out there, and I believe at some point you mentioned if somebody was talking about an activity that could be terrorist or other related, that the director of the CIA should have some interest in that. And am I right in saying you see a different privacy standard if someone is trying to maintain their privacy as opposed to someone who's putting information out there that anyone can see?
Mike, hit your button.
Yes, sir. I may not have added there. Look, the primary responsibility for that here in the United States is not the Central Intelligence Agency. It would be other agencies inside the federal government. So in the first instance, the focus of the Central Intelligence Agency is foreign intelligence collection. Make no mistake about that. But yes, I was referring to things that were in the public space that the U.S. government ought to make sure that we understood fully and that we didn't leave publicly available information off of things that we were using to prevent all kinds of bad and terrorist activity here in the United States. As a member of Congress, I've voted repeatedly on pieces of legislation that were important for protection of American privacy. It's something that if you come from South Central Kansas, people know. You know that being from Missouri, people are deeply cognizant of the need for a space for themselves to live away from the government, and it's something that I hold dear and treasure myself as well.
The on the issue of encryption, I've for some time on this committee at even public hearings and specifically at public hearings have had both the director of the FBI and NSA. I can recall on both of them saying encryption is the best thing out there and maybe in some cases the worst thing out there, but there seems to be a real sense that encryption is more often a cyber protection than something that we should create a way around. And what's your view of encryption in an ongoing way and what the government could or should do to try to permeate encryption that's already out there in equipment?
Senator, I always start on this topic reminded of my role as the director of the CIA. It's first to comply with the law. So as you all develop policies around encryption, you have my assurance that I'll always direct the people that work for me to comply with the law with respect to private communications. Second, I think we need to acknowledge that encryption is out there and that not all encryption takes place here in the United States. And so the rules that we put and policies we put in place here in America are things that the intelligence community is going to have to figure out a way to perform its function, knowing that that encryption will continue to be out there. And then finally, we spend a lot of time talking about how we handle encrypted devices for Americans and for encryption here in the United States. My effort will be to understand it more fully, to make sure that I understand its impact on my role to keep America safe, and to work alongside you to develop a set of policies that achieve that goal while still achieving all the other goals that we have here in America.
And spending some time in House Intelligence seeing the relationship between the DNI and the CIA, what do you think you can do to advance the ability of the DNI to do their originally stated job of coordinating information, being sure everybody has access to the information that's out there in a better way than we have currently seen?
So the statute's pretty clear about our respective roles and responsibilities. I've now had a chance to reread that a couple of times since my nomination. I'm excited about Senator Coates' nomination, if he's confirmed. I look forward to working alongside of him. I've read the histories. I know that there have been conflicts before between the Director of National Intelligence and the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. In my role as a small business owner, I saw that too. You'd have different people with different roles, and you'd see conflict. My effort was every day to work hard to make sure that we were additive, that we each found our own space, that we worked across those borders, not only individually, but that we directed that our organizations would accomplish that as well. So it's not just the two senior officials, I think, that have had conflict before. We need to make sure our organizations each understand that there is a place for the Director of National Intelligence to ensure that there's good communication among the a dozen-plus intelligence agencies, and that information is shared in a timely fashion, and that the director of the CIA has his plate full performing his primary functions as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.